We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More drama when it comes to something that's actually pretty relevant to the Steelers because of the way the schedule shakes out this year. The latest on the Aaron Rodgers situation is this. Adam Schefter tweeting it out. Aaron Rodgers expected to return to Green Bay while giving the Packers more cap room. Davante Adams now willing to listen to any contract discussions the team would like to have. Per sources, Adams is open to a deal. There's a lot more to this, Pony. And by the way, fan headlines, more of them, 93.7thefan.com. It seems like eventually Rodgers is going to get out of there. He'll be back this season, but would set up his departure after this year. So basically, the player is dictating terms to the team here.
Yeah, there's one thing that needs to get ironed out here, and that'll go a long way in determining how I feel about the way this negotiation went down to get Rodgers back in Green Bay this year. And that's when his contract gets voided, because there seems to be some disagreement in the reporting on that. Some are saying 2023. Some are saying it's after this year. Some are saying it's 2022 or after this year. If it's after this year, then that means Green Bay is all in on Rodgers this season and that they're just going to lose him in free agency.
I know.
And all they'll get back for him will be the compensatory third-round pick for, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Correct.
If it's after this, if it's Schefter after 2022.
Schefter, for what it's worth, is saying 2023 would be voided.
Okay, well, then that means it sounds like there's almost a mutual understanding here that the Packers will trade Rodgers to a preferred destination after this season. Unless, you know, there's this kumbaya thing that happens there and they somehow are able to come to an even better understanding and greater compromise.
I think they could win the Super Bowl and he wouldn't care.
Well, right. I think that's why he's done all the Michael Jordan last dance tweets and, you know, put out the picture of Jordan and Pippen just like Davante Adams did. There was this story a couple of months ago where a friend of Rodgers called the Packers GM Jerry Krause, who was the GM from the late 90s Bulls, who wanted to move on from Jordan and Phil Jackson. So, you know, I think that Rodgers has it in his head that he wants to do it one more time. He wants to do right by his teammates and the fans there and then give the Packers the bird on the way out of town. And honestly, I agree with him, Chris. Like, the more and more this has gone on, and I know he gets labeled, and rightfully so, as one of these kind of like parsnickety quarterbacks.
He's passive aggressive. He's very he clearly is sensitive and is not shy about telling
right.
The team when he feels wrong.
But I will come back to this fundamental mistake by Green Bay every time. It's not so much drafting Jordan Love. It's that they didn't even give him the courtesy of, hey, we're going to do this and allow for him to not be blindsided by it. And I've heard some Packers media and Packers fans have said, well, if that was what was presented to him, he wouldn't have gone for it. He would have flipped out and he would have said, don't do it. Okay, well, then maybe you don't do it. But to just blow off your franchise quarterback and not take his feelings into account when he's the most important person within your organization was a disastrous move by Green Bay that ruined this relationship. And I don't think it was in a bad place before it happened, because they had just fired Mike McCarthy, for Aaron Rodgers, which is another thing that I agree with Rodgers on. I thought that McCarthy had largely proven that he was in over his head as a head coach,
well,
right?
The funny thing about the firing there, and by the way, Jason Mackey in on an Adam Frazier Zoom right now, so we'll get to Jason whenever we can. Might be a little bit later on here.
An Adam Frazier Zoom with who? Pirates Media or with San Diego?
An Adam Frazier Zoom is what I have been told. So I'm getting information in my ear like I'm Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather right now. But no, the McCarthy thing cracked me up for this reason. They then hired Matt LaFleur, which seemed to only rankle him even more. We're firing a guy you don't like, but also bringing in a guy that's going to run the football because we're drafting A.J. Dillon and a bunch of other guys who aren't wide receivers. Like, I do think that's an interesting part of that little story. The upshot to this, and by the way, Adam Schefter's tweets on all of this, that tweet about there could be a pathway to these two, you know, Rodgers and the Packers parting company after this coming season. That's our top-tier tweet of the day brought to you by Top Tier Fuel at GetGo. The upshot to this, though, is that assuming they have this deal ironed out, the Steelers have to deal with Aaron Rodgers once this season.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the problem. They have to deal with him in Green Bay with a team that is presumably going to be going all out for him the entire year to try to make it one for the road.
Yep.
And that means, at least for old Mulsey, this gets put on the old ledger as a loss, at least when I try to suss out what I think is going to happen this season.
And I had the FanDuel head odds maker tell me that if it's Jordan Love who starts that game instead of Ben Roethlisberger, knowing what we know about both teams right now, that the Steelers would have been favored on the road in that game by as many as 3 points. Chris, I do think the other interesting sidebar to this story is if it really is a handshake deal between, and it's now into the contract too, so there's actual, it's written into language that pretty much makes it look just like Tom Brady that final year in New England. It appears that this is going to be it for him in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
2022 or 2021. I keep getting my years screwed up. It's all the chicken from Friday. The interesting thing is, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Steelers have the second most cap space for next year.
Listen, don't even do this because Jason Mackey's on the line mainly.
Oh.
Sorry. I know. I had to get an exit. Believe me, I've thought about it. I've thought about it, Pony, what you were going to bring up there, and I would at least, you know, be thinking about it some more if this all comes to pass that way.
No Grateful Dead for Jason?
We're midstream here. What do you want me to do? Stop everything and then start it again? I love Jason.
Well, that's what the Grateful Dead would do. They'd play the same song for like 15 straight minutes,
right? Well, they would
have been
playing the same song like since 6 a.m. when the morning show came on today, and they would just be wrapping it up now and going into a new one is what I believe they would be doing. Jason Mackey, fresh off of a Zoom call, fresh off of an airplane. Jason, are you a stand-up-in-the-aisle guy when the plane lands, or do those people drive you insane?
Oh, they drive me insane. I was was on a plane this morning with an aisle stander who had a book bag and a very little awareness and just kept whacking me with it. I mean, these people should be, I don't know, driven off of a cliff somewhere. I mean, what are you doing standing in the aisle of an airplane when it lands? Like, does that get you a better exit?
Jason, how about the people that try to get their luggage out from up top and try to cut in front of you? Like, your seat is closer to the front of the plane, and people like 5 or 6 rows back try to get a head start on you. I hate that.
I hate that, but I hate more the guy that wants to stand up next to me and put his, in my face.
Junk.
Like, the people's lack of awareness when you're there. Like, dude, I'm right here. I don't want that. It's ridiculous.
Jason, can you give us, in your understanding, the way the Padres and Pirates came to this deal with Adam Frazier and how serious other teams' interest was before the deal ended up getting made?
So there was cursory interest, and I will do my best, Chris. There was cursory interest in Frazier, you know, probably not as much in terms of, like, high stakes with the deal as other teams. The Pirates were obviously looking to get a certain level of return back. I'm trying to make this in a way that is not generic, but, like, you know, they liked the guys they got. They feel like Tuukka Pitä, I'm going to butcher Marcano, thank you. This is a kid that they think can really blossom into something. And you know, you're taking guys who have produced and have some things, you know, at the lower levels with Swinski. I got to learn how to pronounce these names. I'm having a day. You know, with his power, the other kid's got some strikeout potential. I mean, there's stuff they feel like they can develop, and it was more than they were getting for other teams. The return, if they wouldn't have kicked cash in, would have been less. You know, I wonder if they would have gotten the level that they did. I don't think they would have. So, I mean, that's really what it was. And I mean, the Padres separated themselves because they had more to offer. The Pirates felt.
Jason, my question about identifying Marcano as the guy that they wanted back in the trade, I mean, is it wrong to say that he's another kind of singles-hitting middle infielder, much like Adam Frazier? Is it wrong to say that? That's what he projects as?
I don't know. I don't think that's – I mean, what I've read and heard –
the power hasn't played out in the minor leagues so far. We can agree on that, right?
Correct. No doubt. No doubt. And the other part of it that I've read and heard is that he has room to add to his frame. Like, I don't think he's a finished product. I mean, he made a really big jump from 2019 to going up to the majors this year and making his debut. Like, I still believe – I think he's 21. If not, he's, you know, maybe 22.
Yep, 21.
Like, there's still room to grow and evolve. You know, is he going to hit 25 in the show? I don't think so. But can he be somebody who's a more than light-hitting middle infielder? Yeah, I think so. And – you know, I think what the Pirates are doing, too, is accumulating guys who are athletic, can move, can do different things. Like, does Marcano stay there? I don't know. Does Castro stay there? I don't know. Does Nick Gonzalez stay there? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can play in the middle infield that could also maybe bounce somewhere else if they have to. And, I mean, let's be honest. In the group that we're talking about, they also might have some failures. Some guys aren't going to pan out. But, you know, they're trying to get as many at premium positions as they can.
Jason, it's always tough when you're trying to grade a trade and maybe who won it, because one team's getting the ready-made major leaguer who's supposed to help them right now contend for a pennant, and one team is getting essentially – I know that Marcano's played for a brief time in the bigs, but like you said, that was a big jump. One team is getting a whole lot of future hope. Based on who you're talking to and what you're hearing, are you getting a sense that one team is seen as having won this trade more than the other?
I think these things, unless you get prospects back that are widely known and ranked, are always going to be viewed as the team that gets the known commodities wins. You know, I don't remember back with, like, Tyone's probably a special case because of a second Tommy John, but, like, Musgrove. It's just a lot of times in these trades where you're trading a known commodity for three guys you don't know, you're going to say the team that got the major league player won. I just don't think we know. Like, I don't see there being a winner or a loser.
Well, that wasn't true of the Archer trade.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying, like, they got, I mean, Glasnow and Meadows were basically at AAA, and Baz was a second-year player in the organization?
Yeah, the day after that trade, a lot of people were celebrating it. And then we learned over time that it sucked. Like, we might learn over time that this one sucked. We might learn over time that this is good, but I can't tell you 24 hours after the trade if it's a win or a loss. And I understand why people want to talk about that. I'm just like, you know, I think it just is going to take a little bit of runway, and it's going to depend on, you know, what these kids do, what Frazier does. Like, I believe,
Jason, the thing I brought up to Chris earlier in the show, and you can best answer this question because you're tied into the Pirates better than both of us are. You do a great job on your beat. What I'm trying to figure out is, you clearly, we're dealing with a team in the Padres that has a ton invested in this year, a lot. They're spending almost to the luxury tax as a small market team. They've made these huge trades, Yu Darvish. They've spent all this money in free agency. They re-up Tatis. They've got so much invested in 2021, and yet in both trades you make with them, you're not able to get one of their best prospects. How did that happen?
It's a good question, but I wouldn't say that they got robbed. I mean,
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that the Padres found a way to make trades with the Pirates and make themselves better without giving up premium prospects.
Yeah, and I think what it might come down to is having sort of a different view of what the Pirates were trading than they did, and probably what the industry did. You know, I'm going to sort of talk negatively about Adam Frazier for a little bit, and I don't love doing that, but I think part of it needs said. Like, he hit a lot of singles and he had a terrible exit velocity and batting average is an overrated stat. And he did not play a great defensive second base this year. Do I think they should have gotten, well, I shouldn't say they should have gotten more, but like, did I expect them to maybe get a little bit more? Yeah, I thought so. The level of return was a little surprising to me, although, I don't think we know the final product. The point I'm trying to make, Andrew, is I think the perception here of what Adam Frazier can do is sort of, tilted or whatever you want to say by watching him play every day. I don't think it's the same way around the league. I think you can take some marks off of his game because of how baseball is played and thought about right now.
Isn't the proof there that Nelson Cruz, who's ancient but still hits the ball over the fence at a very high rate in a very regular clip and doesn't have that team control for next year the way Frazier does, fetched more in return for Minnesota than Frazier did? I mean, that would be the proof positive to me that if you can hit dingers, people want you on their team.
They pay. I mean, that's not a new concept of 2021, but like, I do think that, somebody who's playing the game the way Frazier does, which I love it. I think it's necessary. I respect the hell out of what he does, and I think Pittsburgh does as well. And people who watch him every day understand. But when you look around the game as a whole, there's way more emphasis placed on, like you're saying, Chris, hitting the ball over the fence, power, that sort of thing. And Frazier just doesn't do that. And maybe there's a mark, I mean, defensively, like when you look at metrics, defensive runs above average, that sort of thing. Saber recently released its midseason defensive index, and he was dead last. He has not fared well in that stuff where previously he did. So, I mean, should he really have that stuff held against him? I don't think so, but,
But isn't baseball full of GMs now who don't look at batting average? Like, if you make this trade 15 years ago, I feel like you get a better return, relatively speaking, because now the GMs are reading those publications, not turning their noses up, and they're not just going, damn, he's got a 328 batting average or whatever. This guy can really rake.
They don't care about batting average. You're looking at, exit velocity, weighted on base average. Whether we agree or disagree, like, it's just not as important of a stat as it used to be. I personally think that's wrong. Like, I try to understand the advanced stuff, and I think sometimes I probably overuse them in my writing, but I think sometimes we undercredit what it means to be a ball player like Adam Frazier is. But my opinion doesn't mean squat. It's the opinion of the other general managers, and I think that's we saw that play out with what they were able to get back.
I think this really comes down to how much trust you've already built up or confidence you've already built up in Ben Cherington, Jason, because the best way I can present this trade to Pirates fans in a positive light is that, think about it, this player, this Marcano, Cherington valued him so much that he went to the owner and said, give me more than $1 million to acquire him. And if you respect Cherington and his evaluation of young players, well, then that has to mean a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I tweeted something to this effect, that this is sort of my argument with this stuff, Andrew. Like, Ben Cherington has taken the farm system from an abyss to one of the best in the game in a year. Like, I think he might know what he's doing with, like, picking out young talent. I've explained this on your show before. They have made an increased effort to sort of find prospects that they think are going to project into something. Ronzi Contreras, Miguel Yajure, two perfect examples of that. Guys that are going to become highly rated in a year or two. You're giving him credit for something, and then you're basically taking it away for another. You're saying, oh, this isn't good enough for me. Well, have you seen those guys play? Like, they've spent an exorbitant amount of time watching these players and scouting these players. And I'm not saying
I've never accepted that as a way of defending a trade or a move by a team, because baseball organization does that more than we on the outside do.
No, I agree with you, but I'm saying that's a reason to not immediately crap all over it. That is a reason. So you can't sit here and tell me today, 24 hours after the trade, because believe me, many have, that, like, this trade sucks. The players they got back are terrible. But you don't know. We don't know. And, I'm agreeing with your point, Andrew. I mean, that he's done some very good things. And you have to sort of say, well, he's put some hay in the barn here. I think we should probably just let him go. I mean, if he falls on his face, so be it. Then levy an opinion and criticize him and whatever. But, like, I don't know. I just can't look at the guy who has done what he's done in a year, and he's traded for players that I have not seen with my own two eyes. I can't sit here and say, well, they stink. Those guys are terrible. Like, I can't get down with that.
Jason, Tyler Anderson's the scheduled starter tomorrow. Pirates, Brewers, they begin a three-game series. Is he going to make that start for the Pirates?
I would say it's maybe TBD at this point, which it often is in the Pirates. I don't think that Anderson's the next domino to fall. I do think that, like, I had gotten a text just before I got on with you guys about a reliever not named Rodriguez as somebody that has been bandied about. So I'm guessing that is probably either Chris Stratton or Chase Treese. They would make sense. But for the Anderson question, I would say as of now, yes, he makes that start. But as we know, things can change in a very big hurry, and he could be, you know, I don't think they'll be afraid to scratch him if they have something sort of happening or they're a spark there.
Pony?
Oh, I thought you wanted me to shut up, Chris. You want me to keep talking?
It's up to you. I'm giving you – see, I cut you off too quickly with Ray, and you clearly had another question. So now I want to be delicate here, especially since you're still convalescing after the chicken nugget debacle of 2021. And if you'd like to ask Jason another question, you're more than welcome to.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, then I am too. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.